Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim and Ed and Steve Giordano joins us now. Steve, good morning, brother.
Good morning.
So you getting the vaccine, Steve?
I'll take the vaccine if it comes. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, isn't that the news? It's coming out in the next few weeks?
That's what they say. Yeah, President Trump is very happy. He was talking about that this morning, which I'm happy to hear him talking about that as opposed to other things that he has been reported to be talking about lately. But yeah, good news. Great news for Pfizer.
What's the story?
With the vaccine?
Yeah.
Pfizer has come. It's 90% effective, and my understanding is that means that 90% of people who took the vaccine will not contract COVID if exposed. Their immune system has been bolstered to the point where it can fight it off.
That's a game changer for the world, if that's true, right?
It would be. It would be a massive game changer. You know what's really interesting is to listen, if you don't mind me going back, I know you guys talked a little bit about this, but to listen to the media and the Democrats and to what they were saying, could you mind, let's listen, I'd like to have you listen to cut.
When is this from?
Well, this is you're going to hear President Trump at the debate with Joe Biden, the last debate. You're going to hear Joe Biden respond at that debate, and then you're going to hear Ainsley Earhart of Fox and Friends ask Payne, what's his name, the Fox
Charles,
Business,
Charles Payne,
about the vaccine and the stock market. So listen to cut three.
You also said a vaccine will be coming within weeks.
Yes.
Is that a guarantee?
No, it's not a guarantee, but it will be by the end of the year. But I think it has a good chance. There are two companies, I think, within a matter of weeks.
Every serious company is talking about maybe having a vaccine done by the end of the year. But the distribution of that vaccine will not occur until sometime beginning or the middle of next year to get it out.
Are you finding the timing curious? We had an election a week ago.
I am finding the timing curious. It's frustrating. I was watching, toggling around TV yesterday, watching a couple games or whatever, and I saw a commercial for 60 Minutes, and they said, we're going to go into the military's Operation Warp Speed. The military's, they're actually operating it, in fact, at the behest of President Trump. Well, I wonder what they're going to say today. Are they going to tell people not to take this vaccine that Pfizer is saying is 90% effective? Are they going to say, wait? I mean, this is absolutely remarkable stuff. Credit where credit is due. President Trump, he really did push hard on this. Who knows? If it came a week earlier, it might have changed the outcome. But it is great news for all Americans.
There you go.
Well, that's a good point. Of course, now everybody's in conspiracy mode.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah. That is a good point. Did they have this announcement a week ago and didn't
I don't think anybody's saying that.
Okay.
I haven't heard that.
No, because I think President Trump would have known that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's part of the conspiracy.
I don't know.
What if Pfizer didn't want President Trump elected? And they just didn't tell him. I'm kidding.
So, Ed,
I'm just kidding.
There seem to me to be so many conspiracy theories out there going around. I don't know that we need to add another one. My understanding he's not saying, I don't think Charles Payne is saying that someone kept the announcement. But if we had known, it might have made a difference.
Why did he say he was suspicious? He was asked.
Media. Well, that's true. He did say that.
And I think there should be no limit to the number of conspiracies.
There you go.
You should be able to hold at one time.
You're true.
You got a problem with that?
Well, sir.
Another conspiracy.
Here's what I found interesting. Interesting, not a good word to describe what happened there. Listen, play that again because I want you to listen to what Joe Biden. When was this second debate?
The second debate.
Why don't you listen to how Joe Biden responds to the potential of a vaccine?
You also said a vaccine will be coming within weeks.
Yes.
Is that a guarantee?
No, it's not a guarantee, but it will be by the end of the year. But I think it has a good chance. There are two companies, I think, within a matter of weeks.
Every serious company is talking about maybe having a vaccine done by the end of the year. But the distribution of that vaccine will not occur until sometime beginning or the middle of next year to get it out.
Are you finding the timing curious?
There. What's his point?
He started that quote, by the way, I didn't put the whole thing in for time, but he started up and said, this is the same guy that told you to inject bleach. This is the same guy that said it's going to go away as a miracle. So the point he was making is that you can't trust Trump. Anything he says, the guy's a crackpot. That's what Joe Biden was trying to say during
like
the debate.
He was almost disappointed that a vaccine was to be coming out at all.
Well, he's the guy that said he wouldn't take it.
And so Nancy Pelosi said the same thing, didn't she?
Huh?
That if the Trump administration's behind the vaccine, I'm not taking it. Wasn't it Nancy Pelosi as well?
I think Nancy Pelosi, but I think what he did caveat that, Joe Biden, by saying if the scientists back it up, if his panel, by the way, I saw Biden, he has established the office of the president-elect, and he was having a whole huge speech as I was coming over across the street. I don't know what he was talking about, but from the office of the president-elect. There you go.
Well, anyway, we'll see. This vaccine, that's big news. I think it might have helped the president. Probably would have had it come out 2 weeks ago. But with all the early mail-in voting that was taking place in October, and after the first debate, you know, a lot of people maybe would have changed their minds, but it was too late to change your mind.
Right.
I'm just speculating here.
I got another conspiracy theory for you guys that this might actually, I kind of buy into this one. So MRC and the McLaughlin Associates, a survey company, did a survey of 1,000 voters. They took this on November 2nd and 3rd, and they asked how many of Biden voters said that they would not have voted for them if they had been aware of evidence linking him to corruption and the China deal, if they knew that he was the big guy. Because what MRC is saying is that the media and big tech, who refused to report or allow people to post on the Biden problems with Hunter, if people had known about that, that they stole the election. 4.6% of Biden voters said they would not have voted for him. That is a total of, 36% of Biden voters said they had no clue. So that would have taken him, that would have given the election. If they worked this out, Trump would have won.
That's why Facebook and Twitter shut it down.
Exactly. Yes. Trump would have won Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. If as they gamed those numbers out, if they'd have known.
That's not a conspiracy theory. That's just fact.
Yeah.
The media, with the exception of Fox, again, and also alternative media, us, Breitbart, others, nobody was talking about that, and big social shut it down.
Yep.
Well, New York Post was the one who originally did the story.
Yeah.
That was shut down. I don't think that's a conspiracy theory. I think that's just a fact of what happened, and it's proof of the corruption of the mainstream media. It's absolutely corrupt now. Which, Steve, were you listening when Fred was playing the weeping anchors?
I'm the guy that puts all these sound clips together, so yeah, I heard him.
Yeah, weeping anchors, weeping in joy, for joy that Biden won.
I know. Hey. It's such an emotional thing.
Listen. Just send me a text. This is about Republican rioters.
Okay? Republican rioters.
Yeah, this is okay. We all know everybody knows that if this situation here were reversed, that is that Biden was up big at midnight, and then when we all went to sleep for 6 or 8 hours, Trump magically caught up. We all know, had that happened and been declared the winner, that our country would be on fire.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right. No question.
Without question.
It'd be National Guard called out in all 50 states if this situation were reversed.
Right.
So, and I'm not making... Some things you read about current events are funny, but the seriousness of the situation, we understand is not funny, right?
Right.
But still, you know, Americans being what we are, we let memes go and crack jokes and everything, even in the in a serious moment. Anyway, this person says, it's like a open question to her friends. She says, so are we Republicans supposed to riot tomorrow? I'm new at this. Who's bringing the rocks and bricks? Where are we looting? I like Bed Bath & Beyond and any place that sells wine. Are we burning cars or just busting windows? I think we need list and an organizer. What about snacks? I can bring a cheese tray. What's the dress code? What's the dress code? Business casual or dressy Western? I have so many questions. Would be rider.
Yeah.
Republican rider.
That's hilarious.
I'll bring a cheese tray. Can we choose where we want our loot? I like Bed Bath & Beyond.
Well, the reason why that's funny is because it is obvious who does the rioting in this country.
Yeah.
And that the rioting is not really rioting. Some of it is protest, but some of it is opportunism. And that's why it's so funny when she says, I like Bed Bath & Beyond.
Oh, it's really rioting.
Yeah. Yes. But mostly peaceful protests.
Yes, that's true.
All right. So I like what Brett Hume said after watching the celebrations in the streets across some cities because of Biden's declared victory on Saturday. You had these people out in the streets of New York and other cities, and there was no social distancing going on.
Right.
And very, very little appropriate wearing a mask. It was just a normal hugging, you know, high-fiving, dancing in the streets type thing.
Yeah, but Jake Tapper was all over that.
Yeah.
Did you see him criticizing these Biden
supporters? What did he say?
Oh, he did.
No, he didn't.
Not a word.
After all the Trump rallies, these people were all saying they're super spreader events.
I think Jake Tapper did say something about that, but I know that...
About the Biden celebrations?
Yeah, I think he did say something about that. But Brett Hume said, okay, so now can we not all agree that we can go to a football game, ball game with a mask on now?
Yeah. Maybe church.
If they can do
this. Yeah, maybe church. Wow.
Yeah.
Good grief. Yeah, well, California will quickly reverse course.
Yeah. I'm sure. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next story, Steve.
Biden supporters, including some fairly important people, are putting together what they're calling the Trump Accountability Project, which says it will block jobs and shame and cancel anybody that had anything to do with President Trump and his government. So Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was one of them. She said, is anybody archiving these Trump sycophants for what they try to downplay or deny their complicity in the future? I foresee decent probability of many deleted tweets, writings, photos in the future. And it goes with the spokesperson for former President Barack Obama, who said, employers considering hiring somebody that worked for President Trump or backed him or gave money to him should know that there are consequences for hiring anybody who helped Trump attack American values. That was Harry Savugin.
There was a Washington Post. Was that in the Washington Post, that one? There was a Washington Post op-ed that said...
I'm reading the Washington Times at this point.
Okay. No, there was that said that people who worked in the Trump administration or for the Trump campaign should not get jobs at universities or big companies. I mean, they're basically making a blacklist.
Exactly.
For anyone.
That's real, but you're also talking about half the country.
Right.
We're going to put half the country on the cancel list?
I think these folks want it.
That goes contrary to what Biden is saying, where he wants to, is it time to heal? He says it's a time.
Unless these lawsuits have any validity and starts going up the different direction, then I want to hear him say it's time to heal and we get together, even though I lost his presidency late.
I don't think the lefties view it as a time to heal.
Nope.
It'll be a time to burn.
Time to burn.
If this election is flipped, time to dox.
It's time to find out who's.
We got to revisit that Birds song.
Who's been naughty or nice?
We're trying to deal with the Nazis.
Yeah,
that's who. That's how they view it.
Yeah,
some of these folks on the left.
Yeah.
All right, Steve.
Hey, I'm not saying that this is over or not writing an obituary necessarily to the Trump era, but I want you to hear something that Greg Gutfeld on The Five said about the Trump administration. I don't know if it's in this particular clip, but he said, win or lose, President Trump has just made a huge difference in this country. Listen to Cut 9.
This was probably one of the most consequential political phenomenons we've ever seen. You got three Supreme Court justices. You got Middle East peace plans coming out the wazoo. He didn't start a single war. He upset you guys and kept you up at night with tweets. The guy broke the system. He broke the mold. He broke the media. He broke the pollsters. He broke the entire political machinery. Nothing is ever going to be the same.
We can only hope.
Wow, that's pretty stout. That's very insightful. In terms of, I've seen several articles talking about, now the assumption being made is that Joe Biden will go on and win, and of course that's a big if at this point, at least from my perspective. But saying that Trump may have lost, but Trumpism did not, and I guess he's talking about the same things Greg Gutfeld's talking about. You know,
right.
Exposing the media, exposing as the fake news, fake media, exposing pollsters as not accurate. You know, there's some talk about the polls, again, this time possibly suppressing the vote for Republicans.
Without a doubt.
People thought, well, Biden's ahead by so many points in my state. Why go and vote?
Yeah.
All that stuff.
I talked to a pollster, an honest pollster, last Friday, I guess it was, and he said that there's no question that these polls were purposefully inaccurate, that they were pushing for Biden and trying to suppress the Trump vote. When you have Biden up by, was it 17 points in Pennsylvania?
Right.
No,
17 points in Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Nobody thought that was going to happen.
That was one poll, the Washington Post.
Still.
But still, it was mixed in the... It was released as legitimate.
Mixed into the RCP average and several other these polls. None of them had it right.
I have a theory on that, fellas. I don't disagree that some of these polls were made up by liberals who wanted to project an image to the country that Trump was losing and Biden was winning. However, I think one of President Trump's greatest assets is the fact that all the liberal media is against him all day, every day.
Yeah.
It certainly energizes him.
I think that gins up a lot of his support because people see it for what it is and they want to stand up and be counted. I think that's why his vote came out so strong this past 70 million people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying that the more you attack him, the more his folks come to his defense.
All right, let me ask you guys a question, okay? Let's assume, for the sake of argument.
Yeah.
Listeners, please don't get angry with me.
Yeah.
Let's assume, for the sake of argument, Joe Biden prevails, okay? Does Trump run in 2024?
Would the Republican Party let him?
Well, they're not going to stop Donald Trump.
Let me tell you something. A lot can happen between the age of 74 and 78. We see what happened to Biden.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, a lot can happen with any of us tomorrow. But you know what I'm saying? I'm talking generally with your health, and a lot happens to people between 74 and 78.
You think that maybe physically and mentally he would not be able to?
It'd
be hard to keep this pace up that he had when he's 4 years older.
I don't think anybody would think that he would be able to do it at his current age. So I'm not ready to put. He's a one-off.
Yeah, he's a unique. I call him a once in a century politician. I think that's what Greg Gutfeld was saying.
Yeah,
it's a phenomenon. All right, I didn't mean to.
Anyway, no, that's a very interesting question because Here's the thing, is that the Republicans, what do the Republicans do? Well, hey, you know, it's free country. If he wants to run in 4 years, he can run again. If he runs in 4 years and he's not any different than he is now, then maybe he would be almost be impossible to beat, probably in a Republican primary challenge. Probably right. Nobody would even. I don't even know if anybody would even challenge him. But again, we're talking 4 years.
That's true. And the difference between 70 and 74 is not as great as the difference between 74 and 78.
That's been my observation.
Right.
Yeah.
From people.
Yeah. Anyway, I just
well, look at,
I just now,
like
thought
I said, case in point, Biden. 4 years ago, Biden wasn't acting like this and talking like this, where he forgets where, you know, what he's talking about and stutters and stammers. Who knows what will happen now. The person you got to keep your eye on to me is Don Jr.
Oh.
Running for.
Yeah.
Don Jr. is more articulate than his dad.
Right.
And he didn't have necessarily the same take charge persona, although he's close, and he's never held any office. Of course, yeah. Donald Trump didn't hold any office either before he ran for president. But I'm just saying, he's got the name.
Yeah.
And he might be a factor, in 4 years from now.
I am sorry that I brought up the 2024 election.
No, that's a valid question.
Well, just because I want to take a break. However this one goes,
you
want to
take a
little
couple
bit,
weeks off?
I want to take a little couple weeks before I start talking about the next presidential
election.
Hey,
you're the one that brought it up.
I know.
Next story, Steve.
Hey, I just want, as we close, I want to give a shout out, or at least notice that Jeopardy star Alex Trebek passed away over the weekend. He was 80 years old and had been suffering from pancreatic cancer since 2019. And from all accounts, he was a scholar and a gentleman both on the camera and off. And a lot of our listeners were fans of Jeopardy and Alex Trebek. So,
What age?
Condolences.
He
was 80 years old.
Okay.
And
that's a tough. Just about every form of cancer is tough, but pancreatic cancer is very, very tough to beat.
Yeah.
Very rare.
I have a friend that I grew up with and I went to college with that was on Jeopardy within the last month with Trebek, and I might be talking to him today if I can get a hold of him to do something for our for American Family News.
Really?
I think it's worth. I'm aching to report on something that doesn't have the word Democrat or Republican or election or. You know,
this is the who knows somebody that was on a big time game show day.
Somebody else?
Well, my aunt was on Price is Right. The Price is Right.
Wow. I had a friend in college that was on Family Feud.
I had a cousin who was on Name That Pizza. Yeah. You guys remember that show?
Yes, I do.
Name That Pizza. So it's less well known as the ones you guys are talking about. Game shows.
That was shown on local public TV in Nashua.
Came out of Boston. It was from the north end of Boston.
Name That Pizza. Okay, thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Appreciate everybody listening to the program today. My thanks to Ed, Brent Creeley, our producer, and Fred Jackson. We thank you for listening. I hope you'll stay with us here on AFR throughout the day, and we'll see you back here tomorrow.